Welcome to the channel Tribe. In this session of Instagram Live, we are having Ashutosh Garg discussing on transitioning from testing to marketing. Huge shout out to BrowserStack, our exclusive sponsor for all community events and premier sponsor for conferences. We thank them for supporting this event.
Hello Tribe. This is Mahesh from the Test Tribe. I'm your host for the day. And as you can see, we are here for an interesting Agile Live with our own Ashutosh, who works with the Test Tribe as a head of growth, but has a very interesting journey to share with all of us, like how he, you know, was a passionate tester and how he eventually switched to a different role.
Okay, so folks who have just tuned in, so we are here for Agile Live sessions, which we have started recently. And the format is pretty interesting that we keep this, you know, max to like 20-30 minutes. And there are chosen questions on a particular topic of interest to our tribe. So in today's episode, we are going to talk with Ashutosh about his transition from being a passionate tester to a marketer eventually. Like, he has spent probably three plus years in marketing now after spending a decade in testing. So we'll walk through that journey and we'll see, you know, what interesting questions we can cover. So I think, yeah, we can get started now. But before that, yeah, huge shout out to BrowserStack, who is our exclusive sponsor for all the community events and a premier sponsor for all the conferences which we are doing. So they're supporting this event as well. Okay, so Ashutosh, I'll, apart from the intro which I gave, if you want to give a two-liner intro about yourself, something interesting which audience might not be knowing.
Something interesting which I honestly might not be knowing is that I consume a lot of content verbally and now through video wise. So I was just I just made my list of podcasts to watch in the coming days, and I have a list of eight podcasts to watch across entrepreneurship, politics, inner politics, transnational politics, and Bollywood. So yeah, across a diverse range, I consume a lot of content.
Marketing podcast.
Marketing podcast. I don't recall anyone, but I refer to a lot of newsletters by, let's say, Julian Shapiro and stuff like that. So, and there is one Harry from Copywriting Insights, I think. There are a bunch of them which I refer to. But generally, I refer to content consumption is more for relaxation and more for like something which adds on to the work thing. So that's how it has been.
Understood. Yeah. Great. Okay. So in the interest of time and considering the format, let's get started. And the first question is like, okay, we obviously, like, for the folks to know that Ashutosh and I, we know each other from Test Tribe Shimla, which we did, the Test Tribe did as a residence learning program back in 2019, yeah. I think, before COVID.
Yeah.
And so I have seen his journey, you know, quite closely, though, like, in last year only, he started as a working as full-time employee in the Test Tribe. But knowing him and why he was at the Test Tribe and the discussion we had there, I know that you were a very passionate software tester, right? You were deep into the craft while you were there. Now, my first question is, how did the transition start? Like, how did a thought come? Because, you know, to a lot of testers, I have experienced at times that you can't figure it out that, you know, whether this is a boredom, which is a temporary due to, you know, the project you are working or the company you are working, or it is something which you feel that, okay, you have probably explored this field enough and there's some other function or other field which is calling you pretty passionately and then you want to move on. So how was that decision made?
Got it. So I think the trigger, I was very happy in my job. I've always been happy in my job. So this is my fourth job at this tribe, and I've always been very happy with my jobs. So I was happy with my job at the organization where I used to work, MediaTek. Getting good growth, getting good work and stuff like that. So the trigger happened when I did my working managers program from IIM Lucknow, which is an MBA program there, where I got exposed to a lot of other stuff apart from what we are doing. So we were doing kind of engineering work. So we were exposed to a lot of other domains, like, let's say, marketing. You get exposed to finance, you get exposed to operations, you get exposed to strategy and stuff like that. So and there I met a lot of my batchmates who were engineers turned other functions. Like, a lot of my close friends are now I am talking about engineer turned salespeople, engineer turned marketers, engineer turned finance professionals. So a lot of people, and it's engineering product managers. So a lot of people I met there, a lot of people who used to come for guest lecturing there were always or also people of that career transition. So then I realized that as a professional, your career is not a short term sprint. It's a marathon of, let's say, 30, 40 years. It's going to be a long marathon. And I want to, in that marathon, I want to run every part in a different way. So let's say I did my engineering role for about, let's say, 12 years. Now I want to explore something else. Now then I want to explore something else. And that's how I want to become a full stack professional by the time I get a chair on my porch when I am retiring. So that's what I wanted to become at that point of time.
But you had this dilemma that where there was there a phase where you were not sure that whether you really want to change a function altogether, or whether it is out of this, okay, maybe you switch to a different company, pick up a different role within a testing or within a testing hierarchy. Any such phase was there?
No, I was pretty clear that I wanted to move towards a more front end role, more customer facing role. So that was so I was very clear from that perspective. Within the customer facing, let's say, umbrella, what I wanted to do was not clear initially, but later it got a little, later I got more clarity. But I was very clear that I wanted to move from a back-end role towards a more customer-facing, customer-centric, dollar-impacting role.
Okay, and you are then, when you started at IIM, then that helped you a bit more in deciding that, is it?
Yeah, so I had always had that feeling, but that triggered the requirement to a larger gravitas. That's what you can say.
Will you have any, because you did not face yourself, so I'm not sure if you have that suggestion, but will you have any suggestion for the audience or for the testers who are in that dilemma that, you know, they don't know whether they have exhausted their interest in testing or whether it is a temporary saturation due to a company project or similar things?
I think people will have that dilemma. And I think the way forward to this could be to, so I'm not pretty sure because I haven't faced myself that experience. And so what could be the possible thing to it is that look around, talk to people, talk to fellow testers around your network, around your friends who are fellow testers, and see what they have been doing and what the world is doing otherwise, and see if any of that helps you solve the saturation problem which you're facing right now. So that could be one of the ways, but I'm honestly not sure on how do we tackle this dilemma because I have personally not faced this, because I was pretty clear in my head that I wanted to move towards away from this.
Yeah. So now before we switch to your transition to marketing, right, that I know that, you know, you were for a particular time between from testing to marketing, in between you were, you know, thinking to become a product manager as well. So you were exploring PM as a next role. So how did that happen? And how have you figured out that, okay, eventually PM is not a thing for you, and then you want to, you know, pursue marketing as the next thing? Because all these decisions are pretty courageous, right? Like you, and scary as well. That, okay, you are there in a particular function for a decade, then you're thinking about some other function, X. And then, you know, eventually in certain short time, you figure out that, okay, X might not be the right choice. Let me start from fresh, start from zero and go to Y. So how was that phase?
So yes, I initially started as looking for product management roles, primarily because everybody who I looked up as mentors recommended that this might be the right transition to happen to eventually go into business side role. So let's say you are from an engineering role, developer, tester, or any other DevOps role, or any other engineering role for that matter, and then you want to move towards business, the bridge can be product management, because product managers are generally both business side and tech side people. Right. So because they get requirements from business, and then they get it deployed from tech, and then they again measure the impact with business. So that's how they have been groomed, and that's how the role has evolved over the years. So I thought that was the right transition to happen, and then I could move towards a proper business side role. So that's how I looked at things.
Okay, and then eventually, what in marketing was like the best calling, apart from, you know, what you spoke with the seniors or the people in the industry? Like, what is that one thing in marketing which fascinated you the most?
Since I was a public speaker since school, and I was a debate writer since school, and I was elocution writer also, elocution speaker also in school and college, etc. So I was always good into writing stuff, like, let's say, writing debates, writing writing essays or writing pieces or writing blogs. I was always good at things. And then again, transitioning into marketing is not going to be easy because you are not a master of that craft in general, right? Yeah. So you don't know paid marketing, you don't know social media marketing. Paid marketing still you know because you've been using social media, but you don't know as a marketing concept. You don't know SEO, yeah. You don't know, let's say, influencer marketing, or you don't know any other BTL, ATL type of marketing. But content was something which came naturally to me, and I thought entering into a content marketing role could be the right entry point because, and then learn the other crafts of marketing through this. So I used to blog a little. I picked up a lot of freelancing jobs of content writing, and from there it helped me to move towards that thing.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Now, okay, the end result we know that you eventually managed and you know doing pretty well into marketing. But walk us through the process. How did the process happen? What steps you took or any framework you followed?
Yeah, so process is now pretty straightforward. In hindsight, it looks very difficult to follow. See, if you're trying to enter into a different function for which you don't have experience, you need to build your credibility first. Let's say if you want to switch to a testing role, you will always build credibility because you always worked for a decade. Your experience speaks for yourself, right? But if you're not into that particular function, you have to build your credibility, and that could be in terms of your portfolio, in terms of your sample work. We live in a day and age where everything is so accessible, right? So for example, let's say if I want to move to design now, I could design a Cred's logo and let's send it to Kunal Shah, or let's send it to a head of design at Cred. If I want to move towards SEO, I can use a tool like a Ahrefs or a SEMrush, and then I could pull up the report and I could tell a certain company, okay, this is where you're lacking in SEO, this is where you can do well in SEO. So you can do a lot of your portfolio development by yourself in this day and age. Mm-hmm. So that helps first, and then you make honest pitches to people. Right? So first is developing a strong portfolio of what you can do, and then develop and then send honest pitches to people. So you have to find people who might be in that, who might like your honesty of transitioning and who might like your courage of transitioning to a different function. And you have to pitch openly to them, pitch very honestly to them. Okay, this is what I want to do, this I've been doing, and this is my sample, right? And then as difficult as it might look, but you will find people who will resonate with your pitch, and you will always find people who will resonate with you. I found a lot of people who were willing to hear my story and who were willing to look at my work. And then once that happens, you enter into a process and stuff like that. Once you enter into interview process, the best way to again show that you can work for an org is to get an assignment from them and do complete it on time and do complete it well on time. So once you get an assignment, it also proves, it also multiplies your credibility in the sense that you can do the work, but and B, prepared. You have understood, prepared, and C, you have understood the work of the org, and you are providing solutions to those people. So doing assignments is a great filter when we hire, but as candidate, it's a great way to actually pitch yourself and improve your credibility around that first. And once that happens, and I think if your assignment is good enough, you'll be, then the next process part gets pretty clear from there on.
So you applied to a lot of jobs and completed a lot of such assignments, plus
correct
some freelance projects or some passion projects, correct, which are not for anyone, but just out of that,
just out of portfolio. Correct. For example, I can name a company, but somebody who was Meesho's competitor then, they wanted to solve certain problems which Meesho was having, and how can I solve that as a problem in their app, let's say. So then I would make as a product management interview. So then I would make a wireframe and I would suggest solutions and I would pick up data points and stuff like that. So I did a 25-page presentation to their founder, and that's how it. So it also gives you a lot of self belief in yourself that okay, this you are entering into. So as much as you want to enter into a different territory, you need to have a very strong self belief. Okay, I have that want, but can I actually do it? And once you do that assignment, you will get that self-belief a lot in your head.
Got it. So it gives you certain confidence that okay, you're at least on the right track.
Correct.
A very quick question, like, do you think a formal degree helps in such cases when you want to switch to a particular function? For example, if you want to become a PM, then you know, doing not specific degree, but maybe doing certain product management certification, which is widely recognized. Or in your case, did your IIM degree help you land into a new job? Maybe at least in the scaling phase.
Of course, I genuinely feel that a degree in a certain space will enter certain doors, will open certain doors for you. Will open. It might not open every door for you. So, but let's just a certain hiring manager might not value a degree, but a certain hiring manager might value a degree, and that's how it generally helps. So, I think a degree, a formal degree, which is a longish course, which where you have invested in. So, let's say you do short term certification courses. I'm not sure how much do they help. But a longish degree, mine was almost a 2.5 year course,
right?
Because then it also shows your credibility of investing while you're working together and stuff like that you are a hard worker and in that
you're
sense.
Seriously so, pursuing something.
Correct. So in that sense also it helps. That's what I feel.
Okay. You answered the next question in a part, but you know, just to add more light to it, like the most important part, convincing interviews or cracking interviews, how did you do that? Because you don't have any working experience in that field.
Makes sense. So what I told in parts is what I'll summarize here. First is to have a portfolio, which is now in today's day and age pretty possible to make it. Even if you're a coder, you can make a GitHub portfolio. If you're a developer, you can make a GitHub portfolio. If you're a freelance content writer, you can make a Medium portfolio.
Right.
If you are a designer, you can make a Behance portfolio. If you are a social media marketer, you can make a case study based portfolio. So you can make a lot of stuff which can happen to you. One is portfolio. Second is being honest with your potential managers, right? You want to be honest with them. Okay, why do you want to make this change? And what are you willing to take? What are you willing to sacrifice while you make that transition to happen?
Yeah.
And how important is that for you? And how desperate are you to make that change, let's say, in a very raw term? And third is to, let's say, once you get into that door, once somebody is trying to hear a story and is convinced with your story, then an assignment from them and give that on time and give it to with due diligence and with due. Give that assignment the due respect it deserves and deliver it on time and stuff like that. And once, if your assignment is good enough, you will find people to pursue further with you. And then again, be clear at what do you want. So while negotiating a job offer, let's say if you're reached to that level where you are close to a job offer, be clear on what you want. Is transitioning your first priority? Is salary your first priority? Is location your first priority? Whatever it is. But if transitioning is your first priority, figure out that what you can sacrifice to make a transition happen. So you have to be clear in your head about what is the priority of taking this job.
Right. And if there were instances where you faced rejections, did you ask for like very detailed feedback from these people, and then that feedback help you like walk
away? It certainly helps, because most a lot of time people will give you feedback. Okay, you are good, but we want somebody who is more seasoned in that respect, right? Let's say who has had a pedigree of, let's say, doing something which you're looking for. So people will give you that. Okay, we need somebody with a pedigree. And then certain times people will give you, okay, you're good, but we also want somebody to be somebody who brings in that real experience also at times, and that happens. And sometimes there are salary issues also, because if you come after decades plus experience, then there are always salary mismatches and stuff like that, and which you have to convince. Okay, I'm fine with it. And a lot of times people will not believe your story. Okay, why do you want to do this?
Yeah.
Because it's not very common. And at that time, if you can, so why, how I transited, what really helped me was the potential manager and me had a common friend, which we found later. And he asked that person okay, why is he looking for a transition at this age of his career? And then he was a close friend, and then he explained that, okay, he really needs it and he has done well here and stuff like that. So that helps.
Interesting. And did you compromise on anything? Like, there must have been compromises, but anything that you can share which you had to do during this entire transition from testing to a different function?
No, I was pretty clear that considering my experience of 12 plus years at that point of time and no experience into certain thing, into a field which I'm entering, I cannot be paid the same compensation which I was getting earlier. I was pretty clear in my head and I had convinced my family around this, and that and since I always believe that careers are a long-term marathon, and long-term marathon, and this will get averaged out over the coming years. So I had let go of my original compensation a little bit.
Okay. So that was probably one of the most important strategic move, which might have fastened the entire process as well.
Correct. No, it didn't fasten enough, but it did fall fast enough to some extent. I found someone who was willing to take that bet on me, and so I found someone very quickly.
Interesting. And while it is never easy to, you know, change something which is attached to you for a decade, but still, how will you see now when you look back, how easy or difficult was this entire transition, and what will you suggest to folks who are thinking to do that transition, you know, from testing to other function, or even if you have in the audience someone who is not from testing but want to switch a function, how will you suggest, what would you suggest them?
So my recommendation will be to first see if you can find something within your org that becomes the most that becomes the easiest way to do this, because people know you, their charts know you, let's say, and if you're working for quite some time, people will know you there, and the transition is a lot easier. I also tried in my org, but it couldn't happen because of certain organizational barriers there. First is to try in your, within your own org, and that's what people will generally recommend also, that find your own org first, and that gives you the first, that gives you a decent edge. And second is to, as much as I say this, to be clear on where do you want to move, it's going to be very difficult to get that clarity on where do you want to move. So have two, three options of, okay, this is the three things which I can move, and start applying for all those three people. And then within some time, you'll understand that, okay, this is where people are believing me more as compared to the rest of other stories. So I started applying for product management, marketing, and sales at all three places together, right? So I realized marketing was somewhere where people were taking me more seriously, and they were ready to take a better bet on me. So find those two, three options of where you could actually build something, where you could actually transit, and that's how it can start. And then build portfolios, okay? And for portfolios, you don't have to do actual work at times. You can do a case study based approach also. Let's say how cred can become a better monetizing company. That can be a let's say a case study for product managers. How can they monetize their cred coins better, and how can they earn more per dollar spent, which they do right now, right? You can make similar case studies for other companies also. Then you can, if you're a sales professional, then you can make a complete sales flow in your head, and you can write and document it down. Okay, this is how you do a prospecting. This is how you do convert into a lead. This is what you pitch, and this could be your email draft. This could be your calling script. This could be your further negotiation script, and stuff like that. So you can make your thoughts, document your thoughts into a portfolio. If you're a marketing professional, like I told you, that pick up any website, pick up a, let's say, a credit ad again, let's say a route driven credit ad, and what it communicated to the audience, and what impact did it have, and why it had that impact, and stuff like that. And so those are things which you can easily, which you can create in terms of a portfolio. And once you have a portfolio, again, apply to people honestly, write honest emails to people as much as we are taught in professional world that be diplomatic, but at times see if you can be honest, and that honesty will be respected a lot in my head, and that's what I've experienced, and that's what I've gone through. So all my, this is after testing, this is my third job, and the previous two all have been through cold reach outs. I didn't know them in person before I applied
to come to that. So those are cold emails, so directly DMing them without knowing.
Yeah, cold emails, directly DMing them and getting assignments and talking to people and solving them and telling your approach towards assignment. And that's how it has been the journey related.
Interesting. Yeah. Now a bonus question, right? Before we close this episode, you attempted moving to product management from testing, and hence you would have assessed it pretty well, I'm sure. And, you know, you would have understood what qualities or what traits it demands. You moved to from testing to marketing, so you have obviously assessed that, and you cracked that. That's why you are into that field. So if you can tell, like, you know, top three traits a potential product manager will need, and top three traits a potential marketer will need, so that, you know, if in the audience now or later, if people see, it can at least be a checklist for them whether, you know, I possess this trait or not, according to you.
Correct. So a product manager will need a strong analytical skill. That's what ISS. He will need a strong analytical skill, and that would be data analytics and non-data analytics also. Let's say bringing down the requirements dividing requirements into further sub requirements. So a strong analytical bent of mind is very important for a for product manager. Secondly, for product manager, it's very important to be a good task manager, to be a good task master in general. When I say task master, it covers a lot of things. You have to be a good stakeholder manager. You have to be a good communicator because you have to
basically
getting things done. Getting things done. So that requires a lot of other sub skills, like a stakeholder management, communication, and let's say project management. It requires that. And thirdly, for a product manager, I think a little sense into both business and tech is very important because you don't want to be fooled, sound realistic and practical. In terms of business, you have to represent tech, and in tech you represent business, and so you have to be very solid in that sense that okay, you are able to speak both the languages. So that's what I feel.
Yeah, I've seen that the best PMs I met, you know, knew how the development is done and, you know, what are the tech limitations.
Correct.
And things like that.
Correct. So you have to speak both. So you have to be good with both the worlds. So that's what I feel for product managers. For marketers, one thing is to be, again, to be very close to their users, because I believe marketing is a guessing game. So as close to your users you will get, you have to read support chat, you have to read support emails, you have to talk to your users, you have to see what is happening in them. You have to analyze, you have to see. So getting closer to your users is very important. And that could be done in through, let's say, support chat, support emails, talking to users. You are analyzing their behavior on the website, you're analyzing their behavior on the Google Analytics and stuff like that. So getting closer to your users is very important for marketers. And it's very easier said than done, because it's a guessing game. And as close we get to users, we will be able to reduce the game of guessing to a large extent. Be close to your users, and B could be understand where your where and what do your users like, and where do they reside, because you don't want to be doing stuff in a channel where they are not there, like, and you don't want to be speaking a language which they don't understand. So you have to be very clear and crisp in your communication to your users. So being communicative in the new users language is also a very important trait, which I believe. And then, of course, creativity is important for a marketer, because we live in a world of very short attention spans, and how creatively you can hold that initial attention for somebody to work towards it is important. And bonus is like a bonus skill could be to be very to be a full stack marketer, that you don't become only an acquisition expert, or you don't become a retention expert, or you don't just become a monetization expert. You become a full stack marketer where you are able to, you're able to see the complete user journeys, and you are able to see where my users are failing and what can I do. So in a nutshell, it's going to be very close to your users is what I generally recommend to people.
Okay, interesting. And two common skills which both these functions will need probably are like a very good communication and good storytelling.
Yeah.
Like, will you agree to that?
Good storytelling is of course very important for a marketer. It's the most important thing. And now I believe storytelling is something which is important for everyone. Even for testers, it's going to be very important because if you want people to believe you in any sense, you have to tell good stories, and not stories in the sense, not fairy stories, but real stories in a more legible, in a more understandable way.
Got it. Understood. Yeah, so these were good insights for sure, Ashutosh. And not only, that's why I tried to tune it in a way that it doesn't only help people who are thinking to move to marketing from testing, but also, you know, in general, what is the mindset you get into, what problems
sense,
or dilemmas you face, and, you know. So I just hope that this conversation helps the audience in some way. And so congratulations to you as well again, because that entire transition,
you
know, closely, it wasn't very easy. We have discussed that several times. It was a courageous move, and obviously such examples will give confidence to more people who are unhappy into their current function, right? And once they get that confidence and support, they'll possibly take the first step and see if they can land where they actually belong for the next few
actually
years.
Belong. That can happen actually.
So thanks for joining, and thanks Strive for
thanks everyone
who tuned in. You can obviously watch it later as well on IG and YouTube, and we'll again meet you soon.